And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. I'm Arnold Dreis, and today I'll be reading from my own book, The Way of Our People. This story is about an Indian boy, Kano, who lived on the Yukon River over 100 years ago. Like all Indian boys of that time, he was expected to grow up to be a great hunter who would bring food to his people. But Kano was afraid to go into the forest by himself because he was afraid of getting lost, but more important, because he was afraid of the Nakani, a spirit which he felt could hurt him. In this chapter of the story, he worked on a plan to overcome his fear and that so that he can go on a caribou hunt in the fall. Chapter 3, One Who Lives Alone. It was early morning as Kano stood watching other families making ready to leave the village for their summer camps on the Yukon River. But he would not be going with them this year, not if his father would let him carry out his plan. He turned to his sister Maya and his father, who stood nearby, and said, "Much work waits for me at our summer house. Many fish need to be caught and made ready for next winter, but that will not help me make ready for the fall hunt." He stopped talking. A squirrel chattered in a tree near him, and his father asked, "And what is it you wish to do?" Kano answered, "I wish to go now into the forest and live near where the old one stays. There I will learn to live with my fear. There perhaps old one will tell me his secret." Maya said, "But do you not know that many of our people fear the old one? Do you not know that some think he is himself one of the Nakani?" Now their father spoke, "Yes, you are needed at our summer house, but there is a greater need for you to do this other. Maya will help me, and grandmother is strong. She will help, too." Maya asked, "And when will you go?" Kano answered, "Now. Your canoes are ready. There is nothing more I can do here." When at last Kano stood with his pack sack on his back and his bow in his hand, he said, "Father, you and Maya will need help bringing the dried fish up the river when you come back to the village. Leave my canoe here, and before the summer is over, I will come to help you." His father said, "I will leave it for you." Kano turned and walked away. He did not look back as he took the trail into the forest. Late that same night, Kano came through the tall spruce trees to the shore of a lake. The sun was still shining, and so it was at this time of the year in the land of Kano's people. Not far away, he saw smoke. Old One's place was near. All was still except for the soft sound of the wind moving through the spruce branches and the call of a raven sitting in a birch tree across the lake. Then, out of the stillness, he felt something else, as if something were watching him. It was like that other time when he waited alone for the caribou. And again, fear came into his body. But this time, when he looked, he saw something. It was Old One standing next to a tree. Kano turned to him and smiled. Old One did not smile back, but made a sign for Kano to follow. Old One led him out from under the trees to a point of land where smoke from the fire and a light breeze kept the mosquitoes away. Kano took off his pack sack and sat down where Old One pointed. He watched as Old One put fish on some sticks next to the fire. Old One's hair was long and gray, and down over his shoulders. His body was short like a child's, and his back was humped. His fingers were long and bony and bent with age. His face was almost black and covered with lines. He had no teeth. His eyes were sad and told of loneliness. As they began eating, Old One spoke his first words. "You wish to stay here by the lake?" "Yes. How did you know this?" Tano asked. Old One did not answer but went on, "You do not know what to do with the fear that comes inside you when you are in the forest alone?" "That is true," Tano answered, "but how do you know this?" "Long ago, a boy like you lived in a village far from here in a land near the Eskimo. Like you, he did not know what to do with his fear. When he grew older, he would not go out to hunt. And because he shamed his family and his village, he was sent away and could never go back." Old One sat looking into the fire, and Tano asked, "And you were that boy?" "Yes. I went to many other villages, but none would let me stay." He stopped and then added, "It is the way of our people." Tano sat thinking, and at last Old One went on, "Then I came here to this lake and learned to live with my fear. Old One, will you teach me what you have learned so that I can go back and live with my people?" "I will teach you all I know, but to know is not enough. Remember, your wish not to shame your family and your people must be strong. It must be stronger than your fear of the forest. Only then will you gladly go into the forest every day until your fear grows small, and then you will be a true Indian." Old One reached over to put wood on the fire and went on, "Your people do not like to talk of the Nakani because they are afraid this will make it angry. But you know the Nakani is called the Bad Indian and is feared by all. You may know that even the great hunters among your people feel no shame in telling of their fear of the Nakani. Now let me tell you of two other things that make your hunters fear the forest, and this fear they cannot show or tell about without bringing shame upon themselves." The air was still, and many mosquitoes soon found the hands and faces of the two sitting and talking. Old One put rotten willow on the fire to make smoke that would help keep the mosquitoes away. Tano asked, "What are these things that hunters fear most but cannot tell of? I have never been told of them." "That is because even the great hunters do not wish to speak of them. But you must know them, and I will teach you ways that will make it easier for you to lose your fear of these things. But now it is already late. Please, Old One, tell me of these things," Tano begged. Old One seemed glad to go on. "One of these things is the bear. It is the only animal in the forest that tries to kill men. Even the greatest hunter's bow and knife cannot stop its teeth and claws. And that is why all hunters fear it, even though they cannot say so." Tano sat and thought about this. At last he asked, "And what is this other thing that hunters fear?" "It is the fear of getting lost. This is the greatest fear of all. Remember, the Nakani can be seen. The bear, too, can be seen. But when the hunter is lost, he can do nothing. His brain goes empty, and he becomes like a child again." Old One stood up slowly and threw more rotten willow on the fire. "If you wish, you may live here with me. You can use my canoe and gill nets. But for tonight, pull those spruce branches near the fire and sleep." Tano was tired, and as soon as he lay down, he slept. He did not wake up until the sun was high in the sky. He sat up and then looked around for Old One. He was gone. The fire had burned low, but it was not out. He put fish left over from last night on a stick and warmed it. The fish tasted good. Time passed quickly as Tano sat thinking. After a long while, two ravens flew low, landed in a tree nearby, and sat talking to each other. As he watched, he saw that the sun was already behind the trees. At last, he thought of work. The gill net needed to be checked. But where was Old One? The canoe sat empty. Tano was alone. The work must be done. First, he paddled the canoe over to the gillnet, which was set in a stream where it flowed out of the lake. He took out 4 big whitefish. These he carefully put into the canoe and took back to camp. By the time the fish were cleaned and hung on the racks to dry, he was hungry. It was night again, and the campfire needed more wood. And then Tano remembered the dried fish eggs Maya had packed, and he ate some of them mixed with oil. Again, he sat and thought, but now he thought about Old One. He remembered Maya's words about Old One being at Nakani. A few drops of rain touched his hands and face as he looked up to see the sky was covered with clouds. Everything was still except for the buzzing mosquitoes. He put rotten willow on the fire and saw the smoke come up around him. A sharp smell filled his nose. More rain fell. Now he felt it coming through his thick black hair. He picked up his pack, ran under a big spruce tree not far away, took his fishskin parka and pants out of the bag and put them on. Here, he would be dry. But here the mosquitoes almost covered his face and hands. And here the trees and the cloudy sky made it seem almost dark. Tano looked behind him and saw, further back among the trees, Old One's winter house. Grass covered it except for the door. He ran to it, pushed back the skin over the door, and climbed carefully down into the hallway. It was cold and damp and dark inside, but there were not so many mosquitoes, and the Nakani did not like to come into houses. A fire would make it even better. The Nakani was afraid of fire. Tano quickly climbed up and out of the door. It did not take him long to find the smoke hole cover on top of the house and take it off. Next, he found dry sticks and threw them down the hole. Then he ran to the campfire, picked up a burning stick, and carried it into the house. Soon the fire burned brightly and lit up the small room. Now he was safe. He would need more wood, but for a while he sat very still, watching the fire, and trying not to think about Maya, about Old One, or about the hunt he must make. But at last he did think about these things. He thought about the words of Old One. Tomorrow you must start trying to lose your fear of the Nakani. Tano knew he was not losing his fear of the Nakani. He was running away again. Then more of Old One's words came back. Your wish not to shame your family and your people must be strong, stronger than your fear. With these words in his mind, Tano climbed back out of the doorway into the open air, and then he moved out from under the trees into the rain. He pulled a hood of his fishskin parka over his head and sat down on the spruce branches. The fire was out, but he did not start a new one. His wish not to shame his family must be stronger than his fear. The rain came down harder. Everything was dark and wet. With his bow and arrows by his side and his knife in his hand, he sat, listened, and waited until sleep closed his eyes. Something warm on Tano's face made him wake up. He sat up quickly, still holding his knife. His eyes were almost blinded. The rain and the clouds were gone. The bright sun had been shining down on him for many hours. Tano stood and slowly stretched himself. He took off his fishskin parka and pants and started the fire. He was hungry, and there was much work to do. Weeks passed, and Old One did not come back. Every day, Tano worked hard. Every day, whitefish filled the gill net, and these he cleaned and put on the racks. He had to build more racks. He built a willow smokehouse and smoked some of the fish. And always he hoped Old One would come back and teach him more. He had lost his fear of the Nakani, and his fear of the bear was not so great, but he still was not sure about his fear of being lost. Fewer mosquitoes and shorter days told Tano summer would soon end. More and more he thought of his family, but until he traveled alone in the forest away from any trail, he would not be ready for the fall caribou hunt. One morning, Tano sat up with a start. It was still dark, and something was wrong. Something was close to him. As he slowly turned his head, his hand picked up the knife he kept under his blanket. His heart pounded. Then his eyes saw the burning fire, and close to it, smiling at Tano, sat Old One. Tano called out in happiness, "You came back." "Yes, you have lost your fear of the Nakani, and now you are ready to learn more." "But why did you stay away so long?" asked Tano. "Fear of the Nakani is hard to lose. You need much time," answered Old One. "Now you are ready to think of your other fears. Today you must travel a long way and go where there are no trails to follow. But before you go, let me tell you two things." Old One put more wood on the fire and then went on. "First, I will talk of the bears. You should know that bears kill when you surprise them by coming close without their knowing it. Today, when you are walking in the forest, you should always be looking, and you should stop often to listen for sounds." Tano moved closer so he could hear better. Old One warmed his hands by the fire as he said, "Now I will talk of getting lost. Indian hunters do not get lost near their villages because they know all the little signs that tell them where they are, the trees, the trails, and all those things. But when they hunt far from home, they watch too closely for the animals and they become lost. Today, when you go, you must always look around for the big signs, the mountains, the high hills, the valleys, and the lakes. Look to see how they stand in front of you, and then stop and look behind you to see how they stand when you have gone by them. Today there will be no small signs where you are going. There will be no trails, but you will not need them if you do as I have just told you." Old One got up slowly. "Come, give me your pack. I will put some food into it." When Old One had put the pack on Tano's back, he said, "Remember, you will go to that far mountain and come back here. Do not walk in the dark. You must be back here tomorrow before night. But do not hurry. I will be waiting for you here." Many things happened that day to test Tano. The first hours were hard. From the beginning, there was no trail. Many willow bushes stood between Tano and the faraway mountain, and there were still many mosquitoes. Tano stopped often to rest, to listen for any sounds of the bears, and always to look up through the trees for the sun. The trees kept him from seeing the mountain, but if he kept the sun on his left side, Tano knew he would be going toward the mountain. Time passed quickly, and the sun was already moving down to meet the earth when Tano finally thought of food. He had come far, and the sun had stayed with him all through the day. Now there were fewer trees, and now he could see clearly the mountain that he must reach before turning back. Tano kept going. The sun set, and darkness began to fall over the land, and still he had not come to the top of the mountain. But he had come far enough, and he had walked all day without getting lost. He was no longer afraid of the Nakani or of getting lost. Old One would want him to sleep here and start back down the mountain early in the morning. Before opening his pack and getting settled for the night, Tano took one last look down the mountain. He could not see Old One's lake or the Anvik River, and then for the first time he saw something that made his heart heavy. Far away toward the Yukon River, clouds were starting to fill the night sky. Tano had no need for a fire. He sat in the gathering darkness, chewing on a smoked fish strip, and thought about tomorrow. Tomorrow, clouds might hide the sun. Tano fought the fear he felt going inside of him. At last, sleep came to his tired body. The first light of day woke Tano, and as his eyes opened, he saw that clouds did cover the whole sky. He got up quickly and stuffed everything back into his pack sack. His first thought was to start walking down the mountain before his fear could take over and make his brain go empty. The clouds were still high in the sky, and he could still see the low hills and valley that pointed the way to Old One's lake. Maybe by the time he got down into the trees where he could no longer see the mountain, the sun would be back and show him the way once more. But Tano knew the sun would not come back to show him the way that day. He stood there for a moment with his pack sack on his back, trying hard to think of something and trying hard not to let the fear in his heart get into his brain. And then Old One's words came back to him. Do not hurry, and always look for big signs. Again he looked down the mountain toward Old One's Lake. Again he saw the low hills falling off to where the Anzac River should be, and he saw the valleys between these hills. But then he saw something else. In one of the valleys, a thin line of trees, taller than all the other trees around, ran along the floor of the valley and then seemed to curve around toward where Old One's Lake should be. Connor knew this was a sign of a small stream. This stream was far to the right of the way Connor had come yesterday. It would be much longer if he went that way, but it would take him back to the lake. Now he would not need the sun. He had followed Old One's words, and he had found a new sign that would keep him from getting lost. Connor walked quickly down the mountain until he came to the small stream. It was already dark when he finally pushed through a clump of willow bushes along the stream he was following and found himself on the shore of a lake. A small fire not far away told him it was Old One's Lake. In a few moments, Connor stood in front of that fire. He was tired and hungry, but he was also happy. He had won out over his fear. Old One looked up at him and smiled. I was worried for you today when I saw that clouds had hidden the sun from you, but I knew your wish not to shame your family would be greater than your fear. You've been listening to a chapter from my book, The Way of Our People, published by Thomas Y. Crowell. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Inouye. The executive producer is Carla Tonella, and I'm Arnold Dreyfus. The book.